Black History Month programming sponsored by Representative Steve Casey, asking you to join him in celebrating the many different musical movements created and perfected by black artists. From jazz and rhythm and blues to soul, and we are celebrating Black History Month with the sound of black artistry. Representative Steve Casey, District 50, remembering and celebrating Black History Month through music. Today's program also brought to you by Chamberlain Business Accounting, 601 Great Road, North Smithfield. The accountant for your current business or your new startup business. Call 765-1235 for small business accounting as well as payroll and tax services to help you achieve your desired financial and business results. Again, call this number, 765-1235 for Chamberlain Business Accounting, where it all adds up. 601 Great Road, North Smithfield, proudly serving Rhode Island and Southern Massachusetts.
Welcome to WNRI's Black History Month series, the 50 most influential black music artists of all time. My name's Jeff Gamache, and we hope you've enjoyed our journey through the month of February, and this is the grand finale, where we count down from number 10 to our number one artist. We're going to get started at number 10 with Billie Holiday. Born Eleanor Fagan of April of 1915, she was a jazz and swing music singer with a career spanning 10 years. Nicknamed Lady Night by her friend and music partner Charlie Parker, Billie Holiday wasn't just arguably the greatest singer of all time, but Billie Holiday also took her music to new heights by putting her career on the line with the song Strange Fruit in 1939. It was an outcry against the lynching of black Americans that would become an integral part of the civil rights movement. Holiday actually began singing in nightclubs in Australia. Through the 1930s and 40s, Holiday had mainstream success on labels such as Columbia and Decca. But by the late 1940s, however, she was entangled with some legal troubles. After a short prison sentence, she came back to a sold-out performance at Carnegie Hall. She was very successful with her concert performances throughout the 1950s, with two further sold-out shows at Carnegie Hall. Her final album, Lady in Satin, was released in 1958. She won four Grammy Awards, all of them posthumously, for Best Historical Album, and she was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1973. Lady Sings the Blues, a film about her life starring Diana Ross, was released in 1972. She is the primary character in a play as well, which was later made into a film called Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. And in 2017, Holiday was inducted into the National Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame. Here with that 1939 historic performance of Strange Fruit is our number 10 artist, Billie Holiday.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Gallant South, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for street to drop his strange and bitter cry.
At number nine, it's Robert Johnson, born in May of 1911, blues guitarist, singer, songwriter. His landmark recordings in 1936 and 37 display a combination of singing, guitar skills, and his songwriting talent, what was both ahead of his time and would influence later generations of musicians. Robert Johnson became a mythical figure whose life and death are rooted in mystery. One thing we know is true is that he was the first master of Delta blues. Yet he wasn't the biggest blues star of his time. Johnson's impact would not reach epic heights until after his death in 1938. He was a traveling performer, played mostly on street corners and in juke joints and Saturday night dances. Johnson had little commercial success or public recognition in his lifetime. He took part in only two recording sessions, one in San Antonio in 1936 and one in Dallas in 1937. Those recording sessions produced 29 songs. These songs were recorded at low fidelity and oftentimes in improvised studios. Most of his releases were on 10-inch 78 RPM singles. It took place between 37 and 38. Very few were released following his death. Other than these recordings, very little was known of him during his lifetime outside of the small musical circuit in the Mississippi Delta. That's where he spent most of his life. Johnson's poorly documented life and death gave rise to much of his legend. The tale that is most closely associated with his life is that he sold his soul to the devil at the local crossroads to achieve musical success. Reflected in this recording known as Crossroad Blues.
I went to the crossroads.
Over the years, the significance of Johnson and his music has been recognized by numerous organizations and publications, including the Rock and Roll Grammy and Blues Hall of Fames, and also by the National Recording Preservation Board. Here is one of blues music's most recorded and performed songs from 1936, Sweet Home Chicago, by our number nine artist, Robert Johnson.
Baby, don't you want to go?
California, to my sweet home, Chicago. Somebody will tell me that you need my help someday, crying. Hey, hey, baby, don't you want to go? Hey, to the land of California, to my sweet home, Chicago.
At number eight, it's Duke Ellington, born Edward Kennedy Duke Ellington, April of 1899. American composer, pianist, and he led his jazz orchestra from 1923 until his death over a career spanning more than six decades. Duke Ellington's name is as connected with jazz as anyone. He was not only the greatest band leader in jazz history, he was also one of the greatest band leaders and composers of other genres of music, including classical, blues, gospel, swing, and pop music. Ellington would take jazz from a more basic state and turn it into an artistic endeavor, inspiring every great jazz performer of the 20th century. He was a master at writing miniatures for the 3-minute 78 RPM recording format, and he wrote more than 1,000 compositions. His extensive body of work is the largest recorded personal jazz legacy, and many of his pieces have become standards. Following an appearance at the Newport Jazz Festival in July of 56, Duke had a major revival and embarked on world tours. Not only had he recorded for most American record companies through his era, he also performed and scored in films and composed a handful of stage musicals. Duke Ellington was awarded a posthumous Pulitzer Prize Special Award for Music in 1999. Here with his legendary recording from 1939, Take the A-Train, it's our number eight artist on our countdown, Duke Ellington. A Black History Month biography on Wilma Rudolph, brought to you by State Representative District 50, Steve Casey.
Wilma Rudolph was one of America's first major national superstars in track. Wilma Rudolph was born on June 23, 1940, in Tennessee, the 20th of 22 children. At age 4, she contracted polio. Her doctors said she would never walk again. But with physical therapy, leg braces, and true grit, Wilma Rudolph was walking by age 12.
During her high school years, Wilma Rudolph was a great basketball player, and Ed Temple from Tennessee State University saw her, and he saw a lot of potential, not only in basketball, but also in track. He had her work out with the college track team in the summers.
At age 16, Wilma Rudolph won a bronze medal in the 1956 Melbourne Olympic Games for the 4x100 relay. Returning to the U.S., she attended Tennessee State University on a scholarship, where Ed Temple continued her training. 4 years later in the Rome Olympics, along with Wilma, almost the entire U.S. track team consisted of Ed Temple's runners.
She was phenomenal in the 1960 Games in Rome. The two sprint events she won in blowouts, and she anchored the relay team that had a come-from-behind victory to win gold as well.
Wilma Rudolph was the first American woman to win 3 gold medals in a single Olympics. She became an overnight sensation.
Wilma Rudolph returned home from the Rome Olympics to a hero's welcome. When she learned that her ticker tape parade was to be segregated, she refused to attend and forced a change.
Wilma Rudolph Day was the first integrated event in municipal history in the city of Clarksville, Tennessee.
Wilma Rudolph was only 22 years old when she retired from competitive sports in 1962.
She decided to go back to Tennessee State University, and she got her degree in teaching, and she became a teacher.
Rudolph would go on to coach track at Indiana's DePaul University, serve as a goodwill ambassador to French West Africa, and raise a family of 4 children.
Wilma Rudolph was inducted into the Black Athletes Hall of Fame in 1973, the National Track Hall of Fame in 1974, and she wrote her own autobiography titled Wilma, which was turned into a TV movie in 1977 called Wilma.
Wilma Rudolph died of brain cancer at the age of 54 on November 12, 1994, in Nashville, Tennessee.
One of the most prestigious awards in women's sports is the Wilma Rudolph Award of Courage, given by the Women's Sports Foundation. Wilma Rudolph is a huge inspiration to me and to many others, and really that is her legacy.
This Black History Month programming is sponsored by Representative Steve Casey, reminding you that Black artists evolved from blues and jazz in the 1940s to soul music in the 1950s. From soul music came Motown and then hip-hop, disco, and rap. Artists like Duke Ellington paved the way for the Supremes, Jimi Hendrix, Prince, and Michael Jackson. Representative Steve Casey celebrating Black History Month through Black musical excellence. Today's program also brought to you by Chamberlain Business Accounting, 601 Great Road, North Smithfield. The accountant for your current business or your new startup business. Call 765-1235 for small business accounting as well as payroll and tax services to help you achieve your desired financial and business results. Again, call this number, 765-1235 for Chamberlain Business Accounting, where it all adds up. 601 Great Road, North Smithfield, proudly serving Rhode Island and Southern Massachusetts.
You are listening to WNRI's Black History Month series, the 50 most influential black music artists of all time. My name's Jeff Gamache, and we are at number 7. Here is Ray Charles, born Ray Charles Robinson, September of 1930. He was blinded during his childhood due to glaucoma. By combining blues, gospel, and R&B, Ray Charles would pioneer soul music. His success would earn him a record deal that was unheard of in the recording industry. When he was with ABC Records, he became one of the first black musicians to be granted complete artistic control by a mainstream recording company. Charles would go on to shock the music world by recording an album full of country music called Martin Sounds in Country and Western Music. But it would become the backbone of his tremendous legacy. Among his friends and fellow musicians, he actually preferred to be called Brother Ray, but he was often referred to as the genius. His prime catalog of recordings took place on Atlantic Records. In 1960, Georgia On My Mind was the first of his three career number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. His 1962 album, Martin Sounds in Country and Western Music, became his first album to top the Billboard 200. And he had multiple singles reach the top 40 on various Billboard charts, 44 on the U.S. R&B chart, 11 on the Hot 100, and 2 on the Hot Country charts. For his musical contributions, Childs received the Kennedy Center Honors and won 17 Grammy Awards, including 5 posthumously. Childs was honored with the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 87, and 10 of his recordings have been inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Rolling Stone ranked Childs number 10 on their list of the 100 greatest artists of all time and 2 on their list of the 100 greatest singers of all time. Here is the smash hit that spent 5 weeks at number 1 from that 1962 album, Martin Sounds in Country and Western Music. It's I Can't Stop Loving You by our number 7 artist on our countdown, Ray Charles.
I've made up my mind to live in memories of the lonesome time. It's useless to say, so I'll just live my life in dreams of yesterday's, those happy hours that we once knew. It still make me blue. They say that time heals a broken heart, but time has stood still since we've been live my life
of dreams of yesterday.
Number six is Aretha Franklin, the most important woman in the history of popular music, the queen of soul and one of the defining voices of the last 100 years. Originally a gospel singer, Franklin would merge her church and singing background with an R&B style that would rule over the pop charts. It would serve as the blueprint for female pop singers during the second half of the 20th century. She was born Aretha Louise Franklin, March of 1942. Songwriter, singer, actress, pianist, and civil rights activist. She began her career as a child singing gospel in the New Bethel Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, where her father was a minister. By the age of 18, she embarked on her secular music career as a recording artist for Columbia Records. She found acclaim and commercial success after signing with Atlantic Records in 66, with hit songs such as I Never Loved a Man, Respect, Natural Woman, Chain of Fools, Think, and I Say a Little Prayer. By the end of the 1960s, Aretha Franklin had come to be known as the Queen of Soul. Franklin recorded 112 charted singles on the Billboard charts, including 77 Hot 100 entries, 17 Top 10 pop singles, 100 R&B entries, and 20 number one R&B singles. She won 18 Grammy Awards, including the first 8 awards ever given for Best Female R&B Vocal from 1968 through 1975. Franklin is one of the best-selling music artists of all time, having sold over 75 million records worldwide, and was awarded the National Medal of Arts and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Another first came in 1987, when she became the first female performer to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Was inducted into the UK Music Hall of Fame in 2005 and the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 2012. 2010, Rolling Stone magazine ranked her number one on its list of the 100 greatest singers of all time and number nine on its list of 100 greatest artists of all time. And in 2020, she was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame. Here is her number one hit from 1967, Respect. It's our number six artist, Aretha Franklin. Now a Black History Month biography on Sidney Poitier. Brought to you by State Representative District 50, Steve Casey.
When Sidney Poitier arrived in Hollywood, the rules were already written. But he rewrote them, forever changing the way African Americans would be depicted on the big screen.
The best way to understand the legacy of Sidney Poitier is that he is the man in between. He's between black and white. He's a man between representing the system and trying to subvert it.
Sidney Poitier was born 3 months premature in Miami, Florida in 1927, but spent most of his childhood in the Bahamas. The future in Nassau looked so bleak for the son of a poor tomato farmer that his parents sent him off to Miami to live with his older brother. Things weren't much better stateside. With a limited education and no real prospects, young Sidney made his way up to New York. Looking for work in the big city, he read an ad that mentioned the American Negro Theater in Harlem was looking for actors. He showed up and auditioned, but with his thick accent and difficulty reading, he was immediately rejected. He took a job as a dishwasher and worked hard to shake his accent by listening to the radio while a coworker helped him with his reading. His persistence and determination paid off when he was accepted by the theater 6 months later. As the 40s came to a close, Sidney made the jump from the stage to the screen. Performances in the racially charged No Way Out and 1955's Blackboard Jungle made him one of the most talked about young actors in film. By 1958, he earned an Academy Award nomination for his role in The Defiant Ones.
It was a kind of allegory on civil rights in the late 1950s, that black and white could not survive together unless they held on to each other.
In 1959, while his movie career continued to thrive, he made a triumphant return to theater in the stage production of A Raisin in the Sun, the first play ever written by a black playwright to be performed on Broadway.
The winner is Sidney Poitier.
In 1964, he became the first African American to win the Best Actor Academy Award for his work in Lilies of the Field.
It is a long journey to this moment.
His starring turn as a black man helping a white sheriff solve a crime in a racist southern town in the 1967 film In the Heat of the Night further cemented his reputation as one of the finest actors in the business. Poitier's work in the 60s, often portraying sophisticated and dignified black characters standing tall in the face of prejudice and social injustice, helped reshape the way African-American actors were seen in film.
In film after film after film, he seeks roles that are not race-based or defined by color, but that transcend it. What's striking to me is his deep commitment to social justice and to civil rights.
Poitier continued his path into uncharted territory, playing a black man dating a white woman in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. After cornering the market for the best leading roles available to African Americans in the 60s, he began to work behind the camera more and more in the 70s. He scored a huge hit, directing the 1980 Gene Wilder-Richard Pryor comedy smash Stir Crazy. For many years, it was the highest-grossing film ever directed by an African-American. After taking a hiatus from acting for most of the 80s, Poitier returned with occasional roles in films, while concentrating mostly on writing three successful autobiographical books.
More than any other popular artist, Poitier helped to contribute toward an America that moved from Jim Crow to the possibility of a non-racial future. That's his great strength, and that's how he'll be remembered.
This Black History Month programming is sponsored by Representative Steve Casey, reminding you that black artists evolved from blues and jazz in the 1940s to soul music in the 1950s. From soul music came Motown and then hip-hop, disco, and rap. Artists like Duke Ellington paved the way for the Supremes, Jimi Hendrix, Prince, and Michael Jackson. Representative Steve Casey celebrating Black History Month through black musical excellence. Today's program also brought to you by Chamberlain Business Accounting, 601 Great Road, North Smithfield. The accountant for your current business or your new startup business. Call 765-1235 for small business accounting as well as payroll and tax services to help you achieve your desired financial and business results. Again, call this number, 765-1235 for Chamberlain Business Accounting, where it all adds up. 601 Great Road, North Smithfield, proudly serving Rhode Island and Southern Massachusetts.
This is WNRI's Black History Month series, the 50 most influential black music artists of all time. My name's Jeff Gamache. And if you're just tuning in, we are counting down from number 10 to number 1. Here's what you missed so far. At number 10 was Billie Holiday. Number 9, Robert Johnson. At number 8, Duke Ellington. Number 7, Ray Charles. And at number 6 was Aretha Franklin. And that brings us to today's honorable mention. Our number one honorable mention, Whitney Houston. Born in August of 1963, a singer and actress, she was certified as the most awarded female artist of all time by Guinness World Records and is one of the best-selling recording artists of all time with sales over 200 million worldwide. She began singing in a church as a child and became a background vocalist while still in high school. With the guidance of Arista Records chairman Clive Davis, she signed to the label at the age of 19. Her first two studio albums, Whitney Houston in 85 and Whitney in 87, both peaked at number one on the Billboard 200 and are among the best-selling albums of all time. She is the only artist to have 7 consecutive number one singles on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart, from Saving All My Love for You in 85 to Where Do Broken Hearts Go in 88. Her third studio album, I'm Your Baby Tonight in 1990, produced 2 Billboard Hot 100 number one singles, I'm Your Baby Tonight and All the Man That I Need. The album was also certified quadruple platinum. Whitney Houston produced 11 number one hits throughout her career. She made her acting debut with the romantic thriller film The Bodyguard in 1992. She recorded 6 songs for the film's soundtrack, including I Will Always Love You, which won the Grammy Award for Record of the Year and became the best-selling single by a female in music history. It won the Grammy Award for Album of the Year and remains the best-selling soundtrack of all time. Houston starred in and recorded soundtracks for 2 other high-profile films, Waiting to Exhale in 1995 and The Preacher's Wife in 1996, which became the biggest-selling gospel album of all time. Now, I would gamble that every female singer, both national and local, black or white, rich or poor, over the past 30 years, grew up and cut their teeth singing Whitney Houston songs. Although Whitney did not make the program in a countdown slot, I tried to rectify this by making her our number one honorable mention. As far as our musical selection from Whitney Houston today, we'll take it from the Bodyguard soundtrack. And no, it's not I Will Always Love You. Now, sure, it would be easy to choose that song. It spent 14 weeks at number one. But I'm going to cash in my host chips on this one and choose the song from the soundtrack that I think is not only perhaps her best, most impressive vocal performance, but also the prototype of what a power ballad should be. And I think Whitney might agree. See, in her contract for The Bodyguard, she was allowed to choose one song for the album, and it was not I Will Always Love You, I'm Every Woman, or Run to You. All great hits. It was I Have Nothing, which did reach the top 5 in the U.S. Here's our number one honorable mention with the song I Have Nothing, Miss Whitney Houston.
Share my life, take me for what I am, 'cause I'll never change all my colors for you. And everything that you do, I don't really need to look very much further. I don't wanna have to go where you don't follow. I won't hold it back again. This passion inside can't run from myself. There's no way. Stay in my arms if
the strength of your love.
Back to the countdown. At number five, it's Chuck Berry. Now, he didn't invent rock and roll, but he was the man who transformed it into a new genre that would forever change popular music. Songs like Maybelline, Johnny B. Good, Roll Over Beethoven, and rock and roll music would showcase what rock and roll would become. The sound, the format, and the style were built on the music Berry created. To some extent, everyone who followed carried a label of copycat. Charles Edward Anderson Berry, born October 1926, singer, songwriter, guitarist, and the pioneer of rock and roll music, named the father of rock and roll. His big break came when he traveled to Chicago in May of 1955. That's when he met Muddy Waters, who suggested he contact Chess Records. With Chess, he recorded Maybelline and sold over a million copies, reaching number one on Billboard magazine's Rhythm and Blues chart. By the end of the 1950s, Berry was an established star with several hit records and film appearances and a lucrative touring career. In 1963, Berry had several more hits, but it was in 72 when he reached a new level of achievement when a rendition of My Ding-a-Ling became his only record to top the charts at number one. Chuck Berry was among the first musicians to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 86, and he's included in several of Rolling Stone magazine's Greatest of All Time list, ranked fifth on both the 2004 and 2011 list of the 100 Greatest Artists of All Time. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 500 Songs That Shape Rock and Roll list include three of Chuck Berry's numbers, including Johnny B. Good, Maybelline, and Rock and Roll Music. And here is that staple of rock and roll from 1958, Johnny B. Good, and our number five artist, Chuck Berry.
Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write.
Our number four artist, Louis Armstrong, born August of 1901 down in New Orleans, nicknamed Satchmo, Satch and Pops. American trumpeter, composer, vocalist, actor. His career spanned five decades from the 1920s to the 1960s. And not just one of the most influential music figures in American history, but one of the most important figures in general. No artist is more responsible for the sounds of modern jazz than Louis Armstrong. And it was Armstrong's charisma as a performer, technical skill, and knack for a melody that would make jazz what it would become. It would also make Armstrong the first great superstar of America. With his rich, gravelly voice, Armstrong was an influential singer and skilled improviser, bending the lyrics and the melody of a song with his skills at scat singing. Armstrong was one of the first popular black entertainers to cross over to wide popularity, not only just with white audiences, but with international audiences as well. He appeared in films such as High Society in 1956 with Bing Crosby, Grace Kelly, and Frank Sinatra. Again in Hello, Dolly in 69 with Barbara Streisand. And he received many accolades, including three Grammy Award nominations and a win for his vocal performance of Hello, Dolly in 1964. 2017, he was posthumously inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame. Let's enjoy this timeless piece of Americana music. 1964's recording of Hello, Dolly on number four artist Louis Armstrong.
Hello, Dolly. This is Louis. Darling, it's so nice to have you back where you belong. You looking swell, darling. I can tell, darling. You still glowing, you still growing, you still going strong. I feel the room swaying while the band's playing one of our old favorite songs from way back when. So take a rap, fellas, find an empty lap, fellas, darling, never go away again. Way back when, so, darling, gee,
fellas, have a little faith in me, fellas. Darling, never go away, promise you never go away. Darling, never go away again.
And now a Black History Month biography on Rosa Parks, brought to you by State Representative District 50, Steve Casey.
Famous for her refusal to move to the back of a segregated bus, Rosa Parks became a symbol of American civil rights.
Rosa Parks, this is the mother of the movement.
Born in Tuskegee, Alabama, on February 4, 1913, Rosa Parks became a member of the NAACP in 1943. Parks actively worked for voter registration and desegregation. But on December 1, 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama, Parks sparked a national movement.
As an African-American woman, she was relegated to the back of the bus. But the bus became crowded with white customers, and the bus driver demands that she moves even further back. And she and three other people were being asked to do this. And then he said, I'm going to call the police, basically. And the other three got up and moved back, and she refused, and the rest is history.
When Rosa Parks was asked whether she was tired that day, she said, I was not tired, and I was not old. I was only 42 years old. But what I was tired of was giving in.
Parks was arrested for violating city ordinances. After bailing her out of jail, NAACP President Edgar Nixon seized the opportunity and rallied an estimated 40,000 black commuters for a citywide bus boycott.
People are watching what's happening in Montgomery. And 382 days later, on December 20th, 1956, Montgomery's buses are desegregated by the order of the Supreme Court. So part of it is the unity and the spirit that people maintained over more than a year of staying off the buses. Part of it is the galvanizing leadership of a very young Martin Luther King. So all of those kind of thrust the boycott before the country in a way that then provides an example of what is possible.
After the bus boycott, Parks and her husband both lost their jobs and were forced to move to Detroit, Michigan, where Parks worked as a seamstress, secretary, and board member for Planned Parenthood. In 1996, Parks earned the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
In 1999, Time magazine chose Rosa Parks as one of the 20 most influential people in the 20th century. And their comment was, by her simple act of protest, she galvanized a civil rights revolution.
On October 24th, 2005, Rosa Parks died of natural causes at the age of 92. She became the first woman and second African American to lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda in Washington, D.C. In 2013, President Obama unveiled a statue in the Capitol building commemorating Parks' significance in history.
Rosa Parks was a badass. Rosa knew that this lady with these little glasses could represent something really extraordinary, that the average person, the one that you may not expect, could be the hero.
This Black History Month programming is sponsored by Representative Steve Casey, reminding you that black artists evolved from blues and jazz in the 1940s to soul music in the 1950s. From soul music came Motown and then hip-hop, disco, and rap. Artists like Duke Ellington paved the way for the Supremes, Jimi Hendrix, Prince, and Michael Jackson. Representative Steve Casey celebrating Black History Month through black musical excellence. Today's program also brought to you by Chamberlain Business Accounting, 601 Great Road, North Smithfield. The accountant for your current business or your new startup business. Call 765-1235 for small business accounting as well as payroll and tax services to help you achieve your desired financial and business results. Again, call this number, 765-1235 for Chamberlain Business Accounting, where it all adds up. 601 Great Road, North Smithfield, proudly serving Rhode Island and Southern Massachusetts.
This is it, our final segment of WNRI's Black History Month series, the 50 most influential black music artists of all time. All that's left is to go from number three to our number one artist. Let's get started. Number three, Jimi Hendrix. James Marshall Jimi Hendrix, born Johnny Allen Hendrix, November of 1942, American musician, singer, and songwriter. His mainstream career spanned only 4 years, but is widely regarded as one of the most influential electric guitarists in the history of popular music, and one of the most celebrated musicians of the 20th century. Born in Seattle, Washington, Hendrix began playing guitar at the age of 15. 1961, he enlisted in the U.S. Army, but was discharged the following year. Soon thereafter, he moved to Clarksville, Tennessee, and began playing gigs on the Chitlin circuit, earning a place in the Isley Brothers backing band, and later on with Little Richard, with whom he continued to work with through mid-1965. He then moved to England in late 66. Then within months, Hendrix had earned 3 UK top 10 hits with the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Hey Joe, Purple Haze, and The Wind Cries Mary. He achieved fame in the U.S. after his performance at the Monterey Pop Festival in 67, and in 1968, his third and final studio album, Electric Ladyland, reached number one in the U.S. The double LP was Hendrix's most commercially successful release and his first and only number one album. As the world's highest paid performer, he headlined the Woodstock Festival in 1969 and the Isle of Wight Festival in 1970. He favored overdriven amplifiers with high volume and gain and was instrumental in popularizing the sounds caused by the guitar amplifier feedback. He was also one of the first guitarists really to feature tone-altering effects such as fuzz distortion, the wah-wah pedal, and univibe. Hendrix was the recipient of several music awards during his lifetime and posthumously. The Hendrix Experience was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1992 and the UK Music Hall of Fame in 2005. Rolling Stone ranked all three of the band's studio albums, Are You Experienced, Axis, Bold as Love, and Electric Ladyland among the 100 greatest albums of all time, and they ranked Hendrix as the greatest guitarist and sixth greatest artist of all time. Here's the groundbreaking sounds of Purple Haze with our number three artist on our countdown, Jimi Hendrix. At number two, it's Miles Davis. Miles Davis and his trumpet are among the most influential musicians of the 20th century. Had a five-decade career that kept him at the forefront of many of the major developments in jazz music. He was born in Illinois, then left to study at the Juilliard School of Music in New York City before dropping out and making his professional debut as a member of Charlie Parker's Bebop Quintet from 1944 through 48. Shortly after, he recorded the Birth of the Cool sessions for Capitol Records. After a widely acclaimed comeback performance at the Newport Jazz Festival in 55, he signed a long-term contract with Columbia Records and recorded the 1957 album Round About Midnight. It was his first work with saxophonist John Coltrane and bassist Paul Chambers, key members of the sextet he led into the early 1960s. Kind of Blue in 59 remains one of the most popular jazz albums of all time. His million-selling 1970 record Bitches Brew helped spark a resurgence in jazz fusion's commercial popularity, and in 2006, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You can really hear how Miles Davis could turn a straight melody into an abstract jazz run on this recording of I Could Write a Book. Here is our number two most influential black music artist of all time, Miles Davis. Thank you. here to introduce our number one most influential black music artist of all time, is the legendary icon, one of the best MCs of all time, Mr. Danny Ray.
I'd like to know one thing. Are you ready for the Super Brother? Are you really ready for some Super Dynamite Soul? Then thank you, because now it's star time. Introducing, ladies and gentlemen, the young man has had over 35 soul classics. Among these classics are tunes that will never die. Tunes like Try Me, Out of Sight, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, I Feel Good, Like a Sex Machine, Because You're Super Bad. Get up, get into it, and get involved, because you got soul power. Introducing the world's greatest entertainer, Mr. Dynamite, the amazing Mr. Please Please himself, the hardest working man in show business. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show, James Brown!
A lot of things on this list are up for debate, but here are two facts. James Brown's landmark recordings mark the origins of funk music, and he is the most sampled musician of all time. Put simply, R&B, hip-hop, and dance music would not be what they are today without James Brown. James Joseph Brown, born May 1933, an American singer, songwriter, dancer, musician, record producer, band leader, and a career that lasted over 50 years. James Brown was one of the first of 10 inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at its inaugural induction dinner in New York, January of 1986. Brown began his career as a gospel singer in Georgia. He first came to national public attention in the mid-1950s as the lead singer of the Famous Flames, a vocal group founded by Bobby Bird. Brown built a reputation as an act not to be missed as a live performer with the Famous Flames and his backing band, sometimes known as the James Brown Band or the James Brown Orchestra. His success peaked in the 1960s with the live album Live at the Apollo and hit singles such as Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, I Got You, and It's a Man's World.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. I said one more time. Over the roads, man made the train carry the heavy load, man made the electric light take us out of the dark, man made a boat for the water like Noah made the ark. This is a man's world. Baby boys, man make them happy, 'cause man make them toys. And after man make everything he can, man make some money to buy from other men. This is a man's world. Not a woman or a girl. Oh, a man needs a woman. A man got to have a woman. He needs a woman or a girl. He needs a woman. Man make everything he can, but a woman makes a better man. Man needs a woman. Man think about anything above, but money can't buy him love. Face the fact,
You gotta face the fact. Man needs a woman. He needs a woman or a girl. Oh, oh. Man needs a woman.
James was more than just an entertainment icon. He was a key figure during the civil rights movement. A hero and role model for black pride to generations, bringing out a sense of pride in who you are, like when he stopped straightening his hair and let its natural style be seen on television, album covers, and concert posters. For many young black Americans, it was the first time they saw anybody with his type of status appear just like they do every day.
Gone was the trademark pompadour. In was the afro.
This is the idea of us getting together, an idea of keeping the money into the black community. If we can keep the turnover going, then we shall overcome. Only if we all come over.
He realized his power. He saw his power. He saw his influence. He discovered that he was somebody.
By 1969, the majority of the black activist leaders had been eliminated, jailed, assassinated, marginalized. One of the few spokespersons for the black community was James Brown. When you see him on the Mike Douglas show as a guest host, you realize that James Brown is one of the few authentic black representatives that were given some national exposure at that time.
He would speak out as to how he felt. And I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of people, I don't think he should have said that, but that was when he said what he really wanted to say.
For a long time, I hadn't been a man. And I'm still not, I still don't have the classification as a man. You say he's a man, he's a colored man, he's a Negro man. Why can't he be a man?
James had tremendous influence and reach throughout all levels of society, from the ghetto to the White House. Here is Reverend Al Sharpton with an example of his influence.
I said to him, you close with the Republicans, we trying to get Martin Luther King a holiday. He told his secretary, get the White House on the phone. I said, yeah, right. They made the calls about 11 in the morning. About 4 o'clock that afternoon, they called back. And he said, I want to meet with President Reagan. And they called back the next day and agreed to have him come on what was then King's Day, which was his actual birthday. He said, I'm taking you with me. And I went to the White House the first time.
His ability to connect with world leaders was just as strong with common society. Here again is Reverend Al Sharpton in a clip from the documentary, The Night James Brown Saved Boston, where history credits him for keeping the peace in Boston the night Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated.
There was only one man that could make America stand still and think. And that was a man who didn't have a PhD from Boston University like Dr. King did, and he wasn't a proponent of nonviolence, and he never got a Nobel Prize, but he was a man that knew how to express the gutterances and the screams and the feelings of a whole people. And because people say he feels like us, we're going to at least give him the benefit of the doubt and hear what he's got to say. Because if anybody understands what we feel tonight, it's James Brown. He knew that he was taking that anger and that fury and channeling into a show business performance. But he also made the choice that that was the only thing he could do to show respect to Dr. King and to save people's lives that night. So even though there was those that criticized him of trivializing this to a show, he understood that it may be a trivial way of saving lives and preserving Dr. King's legacy. But however he did it. And you can argue the means and the technique, but you can't argue the results.
James Brown recorded 17 singles that reached number one on the Billboard R&B charts. He also holds the record for the most singles listed on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, which did not reach number one. James Brown was inducted as a first-class member of the Rhythm and Blues Music Hall of Fame in 2013 as an artist, and again in 2017 as a songwriter. He received honors from other institutions, including inductions into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. In the Billboard R&B charts from 1942 to 2010, James Brown is ranked as the number one artist in the list of top 500 artists. He is ranked number 7 on Rolling Stone's list of the 100 greatest artists of all time, and he is number 1 on today's countdown, the 50 most influential black music artists of all time. Here's a song that became an anthem of black pride. His top 10 hit from 1968, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. Our number one artist, James Brown.
We've been duped, and we've been scorned. We've been treated bad, talked about, as sure as you moan. Just as sure as it takes 2 eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share. For ourselves, we're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud.
Black History Month programming on WNRI brought to you by State Representative Steve Casey. An important part of black history is the message given through music. Through the years, artists like Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye and Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald and many more were pioneers in their musical field, delivering important messages of the time. Representative Steve Casey celebrating Black History Month through music here on WNRI. Today's program also brought to you by Chamberlain Business Accounting, 601 Great Road, North Smithfield. The accountant for your current business or your new startup business. Call 765-1235 for small business accounting as well as payroll and tax services to help you achieve your desired financial and business results. Again, call this number, 765-1235 for Chamberlain Business Accounting, where it all adds up. 601 Great Road, North Smithfield, proudly serving Rhode Island and Southern Massachusetts.
So many more artists deserve to be recognized throughout this series. And over the past 4 weeks, we've brought forward 50 artists on the countdown. from all genres of music, plus 5 honorable mentions and 15 biographies from other notable Black Americans. Today, history continues to be written with artists such as Beyoncé, Jay-Z, John Legend, and Jennifer Hudson. And yes, their influences will for certain be heard in the music of future generations. Perhaps I'll be around one day to revise this countdown, which has been my pleasure to produce, and I hope it was both as entertaining and educational for you as it was for me. My name is Jeff Gamache, and I thank you for listening to WNRI's Black History Month series, The 50 Most Influential Black Music Artists of All Time.